Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Hey, Teresa.
Hi. Hi. So good to see you again.
It's been so long since we've had you in the studio. It's been so long. We've spoken a few times, but just through text messages or we'll do the chickmunk voice recording thing on WhatsApp. to get all of our thoughts out.
Yes, trying to coordinate a time to get together and do this again.
Well, it's so good to see you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Me too. And especially doing this right at the beginning of the year is just, for me, getting it on like the right foot.
Yes.
The year off on the right foot.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a few shows here and just let everybody know we're going to be speaking to a few people. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different ideas, all centered around happiness, of course. So we encourage everybody. And obviously these shows are going to be a little bit shorter. They're not going to be the full length ones because we want to just focus on certain details and let everybody listen to them and enjoy them. And then I'm excited about our first guest.
Well, Dwight is a friend of mine on Facebook. And he is presently, but he flies around to different countries doing ministry work. So right now he's in Cape Town, South Africa. And so I thought it would be a really interesting conversation for him to share a little bit about, you know, what happiness looks like in Africa. Mm-hmm. And with the people that he works with. And yeah, I'm really curious about how that differs from the happiness that we're all searching for, striving for, yearning for here in Western culture versus what that looks like in his part of the world.
I'm excited about that. How long have you known him now? When did you first connect with him on Facebook? How long has it been?
I don't know if it's a year or two.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Well, we've got him on the phone, so okay. We want to introduce him.
Perfect. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Dwight. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to Building Joy.
Hello, Dwight. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for making the time. And I know that there's about a 7-hour time difference between us and you. So we really appreciate you sneaking in some time with us to chat.
Yeah, it's my honor to speak to you guys today. I'm really looking forward to a good conversation and sharing thoughts. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
So Dwight, why don't you share a little bit about your work so that we can get context in which you work with individuals, you know, where you live, as well as some of the countries that you also fly to and do some work with.
Well, yeah, that's a good start. Well, I'm in ministry, right? So I have a lot of working with underprivileged people, myself, as well in the communities in Cape Town. So Cape Town is one of the most beautiful tourist places in the world. Where I stay is also quite nice, very tourist, the town. But there's also a lot of, you know, normal African things going on around me that you can't close your eyes to it. It's not something you can hide. The poverty, unemployment. So, and also my work in Africa and Asia, what I do is I have a project that sends schools, kids to schools in Africa. For you can send a kid to school in Africa, well, Upper Africa at least. You can send them to school for $20 for a whole year. So that is one of the things I'm involved with. Yeah, and in Asia, it's a lot of Bible training, how we can actually train and raise up more disciples and people that not only just bring change in our religious, in our religion, in church, but we actually want to partner and we want to say, how do we bring sustainable change? because praying and preaching is one thing, but how do we actually help these people that is unemployed? So helping the people that need the resources, because we also don't want to just give the fish, but we also want to teach how to fish, you know?
Yes.
So that's a bit about what I get up to in Africa, in Malawi, not so much in the country that I am in, because South Africa is not really, South Africa has a lot of unemployment by choice, because people don't really want to go and work. So, and South Africa is also one of the most affluent countries in Africa. So I don't do much of that type of ministry here. So what I do mainly here would be like church work, Bible studies, discipleship, reaching out to people, old age home, helping at the old age home, giving, and all of that. But what I'm trying to say is we just try to bring sustainable change, because my question is always what if the fish gets up and then you're going to have to train the person either way how to go and get your own, you know?
Yes.
So that's the context that I'm in. It's always finding ways of sustainable change in which we can enrich the individual as well as the family. And yeah, a lot of counseling and things like that I do. And yeah, I mean, is there anything specific that you wanted to know?
Well, Dwight, you're how old are you?
Well, you know, thanks for asking me that question. It's my birthday in 2 days from now. So yeah, I'll be turning 21 in 2 days' time.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And you do all of that work.
Well, I don't do it by myself. You know, I have a good bunch of friends that is really, you know, always wanting to serve, always wanting to help, you know, with the little resources they have, be it their time, be it their funds, be it anything. I'm really grateful to have friends that is always, you know, willing to help with what they have, their time, and come and volunteer and come and assist and even come and challenge the way I think sometimes, which is the best, because, you know, it's so easy to be conformed to one way of thinking. But then I speak to my friends, especially from the States or Canada or from Europe, from different continents, and I get challenged in the way I do ministry. And that's always good. So I would consider myself blessed, and I wouldn't say I do it alone, because I have all these really amazing people that is always willing to help and assist me.
How long have you been doing it, Dwight?
I've been doing it for almost 2 days after my birthday would be my ministry anniversary. So I'll be doing it for 3 years. On Monday would be my 3-year anniversary.
And what was it that got you into it? Did something happen in your life, or was it because, I mean, being such a young person, I mean, you're speaking to an individual that's in his 50s. And when I was in my 20s, I wasn't as forthcoming the way you are right now. And I don't know if it's because of your upbringing or your whereabouts in the world, or what was it that made you look for this calling?
Well, you know, if I tell you where it started, maybe, you know, I was even thinking about it myself. I was thinking about where this journey started. And, you know, I always went to church, but I always told myself I never want to be poor and I never want to be a pastor. Those two things that I really ran away from. And how I actually ended up in both of that categories and doing ministry, you know. I was not, growing up, I was just the person that wanted to go to church on a Sunday, and that's it, you know. But 5 years ago, I was in hospital, and it was a life or death situation. And I remember experiencing something that I never experienced before, and it led me into ministry. And now I'm in ministry, and I know I made a promise, and I said I'm sticking in ministry, and I want people also to experience what I have been missing out for years. You know, so I think that really marked me, my incident that I experienced in hospital over 5 years ago.
And what is it that you want people to experience?
I want people to experience happiness, that joy, happiness, joy, and love. How it, you know, we can always say that the world is such a cruel place. The world is such a place full of hate. There's no peace. There's no happiness. But guess what? There actually is happiness. And, you know, it's quite good, because you need to decide at the individual level, are you going to be happy? Are you going to be joyful? Are you just going to stay in bed and feel sorry for yourself? And that's exactly one of the decisions I had to make. I had to make a decision and I had to come to an agreement with myself, actually. And I had to say, think to myself, and I had to say, Manchester, if you really want to be happy, that you need to make that decision by yourself, because no one is going to want you to be happy besides yourself. So that's a reality. At an individual level, to check in with yourself and actually to ask yourself how bad do you want it, you know? That's one of the things that I experienced.
Have you found out, like, Dwight, in the last 3 years, have you seen a lot of people not being able to look at it the same way that you just found it?
Actually, you know, the more I go on in ministry, I travel and I just go about my life, especially today, I've seen a few things. And I've seen that people think that it's so far, what I'm speaking about, joy or happiness, is so far-fetched. But actually, it's so achievable. It's so doable. And, you know, and recently I've been, probably from the 1st of December, right, I made a decision that I'm going to be a lot more happier this year than I was last year. Because I actually realized how unhappy I was last year, that I can actually work on that factors and actually experience more happiness in this year.
Can I ask you, Dwight, what were some of the things that were actually making you unhappy that you actually conscious and you discovered them and then you thought to yourself, those things can no longer make me unhappy. I have to start looking for more joy. Can you share that?
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks for asking me to. So a lack of resources, you know, I'm in ministry. So the number one concern that I have, it's not like I fear or I'm really scared or all of that, but it's a concern because, you know, I have people that I need to minister to. So I can't do that without funds. So one of the things that I lacked last year was funds. And also, I didn't really have a good support group around me, not even speaking about the finances. So last year, there was a car accident. I'm sure if you guys Google it, it should pop up. It's an accident by YWAM. It's called a Tanzanian bus accident. And I lost quite a few friends in that bus accident last year. And they were all coming from Hawaii and they were coming to South Africa. And many of them passed away in that accident. And I lost many of my good friends as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, I lost many good friends to different life, to them losing their lives in different ways last year. So I was so focused on losing them that I actually almost lost a part of myself.
Wow.
So, and that's the reality. We lose material things. We lose people. That actually does hurt. You know, a divorce does hurt.
Yeah.
Things like that does hurt. But we also should make a decision to actually rise up again, rise up still and choose to be happy even in that situation, because that is what it's about. And I like to, as you know, I've complained about, you know, the one reason that I was not as happy or I was struggling to have much happiness last year was based on finances. But now when you look at it at a different perception, someone in the States that could be earning $1,000 a day could be feeling the same way I'm feeling. So it's not really a material problem, it's just the individual problem that we need to make decisions to want to be happy, you know. So it's not about what you have and what you don't have. It's actually realizing that happiness is already in you. You don't have to look far for it.
And so what do you do to tap into that now that you've recognized that? Because everything that you're sharing is exactly in alignment with, you know, how I talk about happiness, that it is a choice, but it's a choice to recognize that it's a part of who you are, that I believe that happiness is an innate part of our spiritual self, the infinite, eternal part of us that once this body dies one day will continue to live on. And that part of us is always loving, at peace and happy. And when I listen to you in your, you know, saying exactly, you know, speaking my language, saying that it's a choice, that we can recognize that it's within us. And so now that you know that, what steps do you take, and what steps do you also share for people that you work with to help them to recognize that it's within them to feel at any time and to feel in abundance?
Yeah. So on that, you know, I want to share something. I wrote a book on this scenario about happiness and how you actually tap into that whole thing. And in this chapter, I share three worldviews of three different types of people that lives on the face of the earth. You get the pessimistic people, you get realistic people, and then you get optimistic people. So in order for us really to want to experience happiness, we should not be realistic. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be real with ourselves when something is wrong or when something is really happening. I'm not saying we shouldn't fall in the oblivious, naive type of not being realistic, but we should be optimistic. So optimistic means that you're living in a reality that is not yet there. So whenever I feel down, I begin to tap into being optimistic, which is hopeful, which is happiness, which is that trusting for something, hoping for something that might not come, that might not happen, but actually being optimistic and enjoying that hype of joy in that. Then being realistic and looking at a situation that is hopeless, and then you take after what you look at. And that is exactly what psychologists and people would even say in the medical field, but it's much spiritual as well. What you look at, you become. So if you look at something hopeless, you are going to become hopeless. And that's a fact. I've experienced it. You remember I said earlier on, I had this scenario 5 years ago in hospital. Five, 6 years ago in hospital, that came as a result for me for looking at what I didn't have and what I lacked. So I was so realistic. I was so logical about something that I forgot that is an aspect of me that also needs to experience happiness. So in order for you really to experience happiness, you actually have to sit down with yourself on a daily or on a weekly basis, and you have to actually narrow down what is the things that makes you feel unhappy. Because only what you know what bothers you that you can actually fix it or move away from it. Many times you're worried about stuff that is not really such big things. We are so concerned, and we allow things that is not really that big of a deal to steal away our happiness. I've noticed that 3 days ago again, I've noticed that I've allowed something that happened to allow myself to not feel happy during my whole entire weekend. But it was something so insignificant, and it's over already, and I spent 3 days being unhappy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, and that's the truth. That's the truth, that the world is constantly pulling us away for little small things. And it's amazing how it can do that. Pull us away, like as you said, an insignificant thing for 3 days because our mind wants to do that. And so it's amazing that you recognize that, you know, that it can do that. So then once you recognize it, because awareness is the first thing. And so once you do, then what did you do?
So after I recognized it, I sat down, I was jotting down a few notes because that's what I love doing. I like journaling. And I've noticed that this is not the first time that the same thing bothered me for 3 days. It happened prior, it happened for years. So maybe for some of your listeners out there, it could be the same thing that they may think it's something new, but it's actually something that has been a cycle that has been happening for many years now that has been bothering them. And you know what was actually bothering me that I can share it with
please,
you?
Please, please.
It was the fact that I was traveling from Malaysia back to Cape Town, but it was such a long flight and there were so many layovers because I was flying out basically on Christmas Day and it was a long flight and I was insecure about me might having to stink on the flight. So that was why I was concerned. I was so concerned that I might stink because I've just been spraying for what's so stupid about that is because everybody else on the 40-hour flight journey back to Cape Town from Malaysia is also stinking. So
it's exactly the same situation.
But you know what? It is simple things like that. Like I work with students as an educator, and students are so consumed by the same things. Pimples on their face, you know, what their hair looks like, if their makeup's out of place, if, you know, they're not dressed a certain way, that it is. Sometimes it is just these like little self-conscious things that worry us to the point that it interferes with our happiness for that particular day.
And listen, it was 40 hours, right? And think about it. There were stopovers and layovers like in Dubai and in... And so I got a chance to refresh. It was not that big of a deal. And that is just it. And there's a toilet on the flight. So I went to refresh every now and then, you know, because I love looking good. It's something that I'm just used to. But guess what? It wouldn't be even a big deal if I did stink because I was not even stinking at that time. I was concerned about me having to stink. In the fact, and you know what's that? Today I met up with a friend for lunch, right? We were strategizing and all of that. And I walked into a place and she said, Manchester, you smell so, so good. But the fact is, I didn't even know I smell good. And it's the same probably on the flight. I probably did smell good because I know I didn't think at that point. But because I was so concerned about something that did not even happen because I thought it was going to happen. There was a bathroom. I went to the fresher. I didn't end up stinking even. But you get what I'm saying? We're concerned about things that might not even happen that will affect us.
Right. It's true. It's true that, so, you know, happiness is found in the present moment. But so often we are carried away with either worrying about things that pissed us off in the past, reoccurring things, or we're future tripping and worrying and stressing and feeling overwhelmed about things that could happen in the future that may never happen. And so as you were saying, I was like, yeah, here you were worrying and doubting, stressing yourself out over a situation that probably didn't even happen, like you said. It was probably fine, but we're so often caught in these cycles.
Yeah. And you know what's the crazy thing about this whole thing is on the flight, because I love flying. Oh, my word. I love being on a plane. And I didn't even enjoy the food on the flight. I didn't even look out at the window once because I was keeping my arms, you know, down all the time. I was like, look. I'm not even lying to you. I'm not even joking. I was keeping my arms down the whole time. I was like, I don't want to stink. You know what was the sad thing even about me now? Thinking about it, my arms was down. I had a whole row of three. I was sitting on the plane with three seats on each side.
Wow.
And I had two seats next to me that was open. So even if I did stink, no one would have been next to me to smell it in the first place.
And you probably didn't even enjoy the fact that you were sitting, not having to sit beside people. That's a luxury. A luxury on a flight, not having to sit beside someone.
You know, I felt like it was business class.
Right?
Exactly.
We are concerned about things that won't even affect us in the first place. Personally me, most people don't know this about me, but I've never been a fearful person. So, and when fear kicks in, it actually destroys happiness. It destroys hope, which actually births happiness.
Yes.
So that is the biggest thing that we all as individuals need to be careful of, that fear is one of the things that most of us need to deal with, because that is what derails us from being happy.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you, Dwight, that is time another one that robs people of their happiness? And the reason I bring that up is that we're at the start of the new year for 2025, and obviously a lot of people reflect at the end of last year, 2024, and they look at what they did or didn't achieve last year and wondering what they will achieve or don't achieve this year, and then time starts to chip away at their happiness. Is that something that happens?
You know, I'm glad that you were actually the one thinking about that, because that's so vital, you know. For me personally, I am not a thinker, so it never affected me personally. I would tell people, and I would like all your listeners to know that when you've made a mistake, don't sit and just sit on that mistake, because there is also another enemy and a challenge that we are faced with as individuals. Once you've made a mistake, know what exactly you did wrong and move on from that point. Don't sit and cry and weep and lament and begin to lose heart because of a situation that you probably didn't even have control about. It wastes time. So if you didn't achieve anything major last year, well, we're in a new year. You can pace yourself if you're not focused on what you did not achieve, instead of and now focusing yourself on what you can achieve, because you have a whole year ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Dwight, I wanted to ask you, so just back to the book and the three, those almost like personality types, you didn't mention about the pessimistic person.
The pessimistic person is most of us, 50% of the world in the States, Canada, UK, wherever we find, is pessimistic. We always expect the worst. Yeah. And we don't do it inwardly, we do it outwardly, and we project on people that actually wants to be happy. And the people that we project on that is happy is also battling in their happiness, because happiness is not something that is totally secure. So we need to watch out also for what company we keep. If you are an optimistic person and you're hanging out with someone that is pessimistic, there is a 60% chance that the pessimistic will influence you as an optimistic. Yeah. And there will be a 40% chance of optimistic influencing a pessimistic.
Wow. I hadn't heard of those percentages. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The company we keep is so important. So if we go back to some of the things that you were thinking about that in a way interfered with your happiness? Because I look at these things as blocks, right? That happiness is like the sun. The sun is always shining, but sometimes the clouds move in front of the sun. It doesn't mean that the sun is not there. So when I know that happiness is the sun, it is always there within me, but sometimes clouds move in front, and then I can decide how long those clouds are going to interfere with the fact that my happiness is just behind those. And now, with all that I know, I don't allow those clouds to stay very long, that I have strategies that I lean on. I have tools in my happiness toolkit that I lean on that very quickly disperse those clouds, and I return back to the sun. And so if you think about the things, as you were saying, that were interfering, so you said finances was one of those things which that pulls us away maybe every single day. It is one of the key things that ruins many, you know, if not all relationships on this planet is finances. You also mentioned, I think, that you had lost some friends. And so that's also, you know, an important aspect of everyone's life here on the planet, that human life is, you know, there's only two things that are secure. They say taxes and death. And so what are some of those other things? Because I just thought that was so fascinating that, you know, there you are, you know, in a totally other part of the world, and then yet the things that are affecting your happiness are the same, exactly like universal things that affect all humans on this planet. So if you could maybe pick, you know, share some what some of those other things are and how you foresee it being different for you this year based on the fact that you recognize that they were interfering, that those things were clouds in a sense, and then what you're going to do to try to not allow those clouds to interfere with the sun next year.
Well, I'm going to go quite deep on this one. So, you know, and I feel that is what most people probably that is not married is faced with, you know, when are we going to meet the one? That is something that I was faced with all year last year. It's like from January till December, I was asking, I was kind of, you know, seeking and searching. I was like, when am I going to meet the one? And I spent so much time seeking for the one that, you know, I could have used that time more productively. So that's point number one. Don't seek after relationships. You know, sometimes we are, even friendships, these things really does come when the time is right, when it's the time, when it's the moment. But now focusing on something that you know is not the timing, it really does take from your happiness. So this year, I'm not going to seek after anything. I'm going to allow myself to enjoy life and to enjoy everything, my purpose, to fulfill my purpose. And as I'm doing that, I'm convinced that, you know, your person will come along as you are doing your thing. You can't just take a holiday and just stop everything that you're doing because you want to meet someone. You know, that's not how it works. You know, we read so much, and we often see in these stories that when someone meets another person, they both were doing their jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. Even Boaz and Ruth, they were both working when they met each other. So it's just that concept for me about doing my ministry, and she will come along if she needs to. Mm-hmm. And I think health was also another big scare for me last year. So I was kind of in and out, doctors and things like that. I had early last year, I had a panic attack. And I also had blood pressure problems. I also had problems with my eyes. I was constantly going to the optometrist and all of that stuff. But I'm quite healthy at this moment. I just saw my optometrist 2 days ago. I went to get new contact lenses. So everything is okay. But what I'm also thinking of, that health is also another decline, that people are so focused on when and how much days there and time they have left on the earth, that they don't even really enjoy the last few days or the last few years that they have left. It feels like such a drag. So yeah, what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to go to the doctor's appointments that I have. I'm going to listen to what he says, but I'm also going to live life.
Yeah, beautiful. And you said that some of your ministry involves working with elderly people. And yes. Is that the insight that you gathered from them, that, you know, they're kind of at the end of the life, and I don't know, are you visiting them in like old age homes?
I do, yes, quite a few. We have quite a few projects with them. So They, you know, old age home, most of them were actually quite educated people, studied and actually did quite a number of traveling and all of these amazing things. But, you know, they're not happy. And one of the things that they shared with me, because I like sitting down with them and having a coffee and all of that. And many of the older women especially told me, Manchester, don't let fear cripple you. And that is, you know, the old people said a lot of things. I'm not even joking about this, Teresa. They, each of them said a different story. But one of the things that it narrowed down to was the fear, and they did not live enough. They weren't happy. They said all of these different things. The one had a health decline. The other one had a divorce. The other one had this. But when you narrow down what they were saying, it comes down to they were, did not experience enough happiness, and they spend their life fearful. What is people going to think about me? And all of this stuff. So that is two things that I can now learn. And that's why I live full out. When I go into a nation, whatever work I do, I go in full in. I go into that office with my chest out. And I walk in and I say to myself, you have nothing to lose. And that is something that I want more people to actually also begin to grasp, because fear will cripple you from even being happy, because now you will even fear being happy because you are so scared about what people will think of you.
Yes, yes. No, this is so brilliant. That's amazing. This is so brilliant. Manny, is there anything else you wanted to ask?
I can continue talking, but I know that you want to keep this short, but I just, this has been amazing, Dwight. Thank you so much. I mean, a lot of great insight. I guess one last thing I do want to ask you is, do you come across a lot of people that are not spiritual? Because I know that there's a lot of connection between happiness and finding happiness that's connected to spirituality. And how do you handle that situation or that person? Is it handled differently?
Kind of the same, you know. I would say to a certain degree, you kind of have to respect their views. But I think that everybody has a worldview, and especially in the continents that I've visited. I've never been to Europe or anywhere else where the atheist rate is quite high and people don't really believe in anything. I'm not sure about that. I never met anybody like, I met atheists and people like that in South Africa, but I've never met someone that doesn't believe something. So I never really had that encounter. In Asia, people believe in weird stuff, but it's always connected to joy. And the same in Africa. Africa's a joyful nation. So I really never had much encounter with people that does not believe in joy or happiness to a certain degree.
Dwight, can I ask, in a continent that experiences poverty, extreme poverty, and some of the challenges that you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, how do they, when you say, but it is still a nation of happiness, it feels like for me here in Western culture, like such opposition to each other. Because here we think, well, how could you be in extreme poverty, but then yet still be a nation of happiness? Because the misconceptions of where happiness is found, that we believe that many of us, because there's so much marketing consumerism, that it's found in our possessions and it's found in the things that money can buy, so that it's found in experiences, right? That, oh, I'll be happy when I go on that vacation. It's tied to people's professions and the things that they own. I'll be happy when I pay off my mortgage or I buy that first house. I'll be happy when all of the things that money can afford. If you could speak a little bit to that, almost like a dichotomy, really, in that you experience and how it might be different, that we here might be able to see it from a totally different perspective of how happiness is, I mean, because it's not. Happiness is an innate quality of who we really are. It has nothing to do with any of those things. Is it because people in your part of the world, on your part of the planet, understand that?
Yeah, I want to share now about a bit of my own experience and well as Africa's experience, because I've traveled to quite a few African nations. You know, for me personally, before I came into ministry, I was working, right? And my biggest fear was having to lose my credit card, having to lose that stability of, you know, actually having money. And it kept me like kind of paralyzed, if I were to use that word. It kept me fearful for a long time and unhappy. But in the end, I didn't lose the credit card until like years after. But what I'm trying to get to is, in Africa, it's not really about what you have a It's rather about who you have. It's about the friends. Teresa, you're so welcome to come to South Africa. South Africa is quite the western part of Africa. But you're welcome to come to South Africa. And when I travel in South Africa, it's so much better when I travel to the poorest countries in Africa is better than the richest countries in Africa. Because in the poorest countries in South Africa, in Africa, where they actually pull out the red carpet for you, I'm not even joking, Teresa. I'll send you some pictures. Doing ministry, they pull out a red carpet for you and they give you their last food that they have. They share with the bit that they have, and it's not even for you to even give them anything in return. It's just who Africa is. So Africa, in my context, in my worldview, what I experience Africa to be like, Africa is not a nation or a continent that is based on what they have materialistically. So you will not meet an African really that is not happy or joyful, or that is not, you know, hopeful or anything like that, because Africa as a continent understands that it's not about the finances, it's not about the paycheck, it's not about the American dream, it's not about the Louis Vuitton bag. It's actually about friends, family, love, unity. And a big thing in Africa is a lot of peace. We always want to go for what makes us peaceful and what makes us joyful and what brings us happiness. So even if you go to the poorest house in Africa, without you even approaching the person, you will find that person singing so happily. And especially in the poorest part of Africa, Malawi is one of them. I've been there. And I went to Malawi coming from South Africa, which is a very rich nation. You will see a lot of tourists and all of that. And I've seen women and men that just lost their children. I'm speaking to Teresa, their whole family. Like, there was this one refugee that lost the whole family of five. And I didn't know that. And I was supposed to minister to her. But when I encountered her, she actually ministered to me, because now I can learn a lot from a woman who lost her husband and three children.
Wow.
In 1 week, that is actually singing and shouting and going about the day dancing. And yeah, I am complaining. So, I mean, Africa understands that that happiness is a choice. And that is what I also want to conclude with, that happiness is a choice. Yes, you have lost a lot of things. Yes, you went through a divorce. Yes, you've been through this. You have financial declines. You have health scares. But happiness is still a choice. And the more you choose it, the more automatically you will not even have to choose happiness, because happiness will end up choosing you.
Oh my God. You have me crying here, by the way. But that, oh my God, what a brilliant
That's great.
Brilliant statement.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I hope you don't mind me end up using that one, because that was brilliant.
Well, go for it. It was never mine. I just did it for the first time now.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much. You have me crying. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dwight.
Well, thanks for having this conversation with me. I really appreciate it.
I would love to cross paths with you.
Me too.
I'm planning on going to the States the end of this year, so I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
Well, there's always a chance of us going there first, right?
Yeah. I'm planning a little ministry visit to the States closer to the end of this year.
Thank you very much, Dwight. Anything else?
No, I just want to thank you so much, appreciation, and I'm so glad that we were able to have you on the show today.
Yes.
It's just so meaningful. And this is, you know, at the beginning of 2025, I just think that this, everything you shared was just this very beautiful and poignant reminder of what's important and really what true happiness is. And the way that you concluded all that you shared, it was just perfect. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for hosting me. I really enjoyed the questions. I really enjoyed being with you guys. It was such a nice conversation to speak about this, because even me speaking about this now, it actually challenged me a bit more about how I want to go into the rest of my week, actually, and want to be more happy. Even now, after we're done, I'm going to go and get an ice cream right now, and I'm going to spend
time with you. Enjoy it, Dwight. Thank you very much. Really appreciate
thank
your
you
time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You keep well.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take
you too.
Care.
Thank
we'll you. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I can't wait to hear what are some of the things that he shared that just struck a chord with you. There were so many things that was just, oh my goodness, Teresa, you've forgotten. Teresa, you've been pulled away.
It's true that we forget how much we really do have without having all these things that we don't have. Like his last story there, talking about meeting that family and just realizing that's true loss there. Husband, children, gone. And yet she was, you know, teaching him when he was brought there to teach her. Mm-hmm. And just for her to have this other kind of outlook on life. And he's 100% right regarding, you know, it's a tough country there. It's there's a lot of poverty there. But yet, you know, I have met some people and they do talk about it. And there is this state of happiness within the people, even though they've been through so much. We think we have a hard time because we're stuck in traffic here, or we get a little bit of snow, or we don't get customer service treated well to us or some shit like that, right? And we need to really set our priorities and understand that if you still have your parents, you still have your siblings, you still have your children, and you still have a place to eat and sleep and drink and everything, like, you are fulfilled.
I know, but so with Christmas just being passed, this is what pulls me away, because there's so much marketing and consumerism around Christmas and the gifts and the decorations and where the money is flowing in all these different directions, and it all needs to look perfect. That in the end, I was like, oh, thank God Christmas is all done. That even last year, I didn't appreciate the company at all. But that's the whole point about getting together.
Why? Was
but
the company this, attached to consumerism last year?
No, the company is like, I'm not even focused on how appreciative I was that you know, our family was there and they were able to come to my house, because I was so consumed with, I have this to do and this to do and this to do and
the
this
perfection.
To do. All of the other superfluous things that I didn't even enjoy. So this year I made it a point to be more focused on appreciating the fact that, you know, for those that could come to my home, that we still have our parent, that I still have my parents on both sides, that they're still with us, even though they had some health challenges this year, that they were still with us. We were able to celebrate with them. But then some people were still complaining about, oh, we're not doing it on this day, and oh, we're not having this food. And then it's like all the stuff that ended up aggravating me and making me angry to say, it's not about that. It's about the fact that we're able to celebrate together, but we get pulled away, Manny.
I know. We forget the obvious, the perspective right in front of us. So it was great that Dwight was reminding us of that. And for him to travel and see other people and him experience simple little things. I know what he's talking about, flying. Like, everyone can look at flying a different way. You can look at the lineups waiting to board. You can look at the lineups to get off the plane. You can look at the uncomfortable seats. You can look at everything the same way negatively as you could positively.
Yeah.
Every single situation. That's what he was sharing. That's what I really appreciate what he was talking about. And it just, he's 100% right on the fear robs you of all this stuff. You're just consumed by this fear of not having everything that you're supposed to have at a certain age or a certain time in your life, that you forget what you do have.
And what's interesting is that I came in this morning and I said to you that I feel different about this new year, that I have like apprehension of and nervousness, I said to you.
Yeah.
But that's fear. So I was so appreciative of that, of when he shared that, because I'm like, what am I fearful of? And why am I allowing that, again, to take me away and ruin my happiness? We have to become so aware of what are those blocks? What are those clouds that tend to move in and take us away? And when he equated that always with, it's ruining my happiness, it's ruining my happiness. And I always ask people, how important is your happiness to you? How important is it for you to be happy every single day? And if it is important to you, we have to become aware of the things that rob us, that pull us away from our innate state. We are always loving, at peace, and happy. There is a part of us that is always that. And then people say to me, Patrice, I don't feel happy. It's because you're misaligned. You're disconnected. Because happiness is like your arm. It is there, but you're not plugged in.
Yeah.
You're not tuned in. There is something, either mentally, physically, or emotionally, that's pulling you away from that alignment, because it's always there.
You have to confront it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just always going to be there and you're not going to understand why you're not happy as a result of it.
And journaling, as he said, is such a great way of being able to say, oh, wow, look at that, that he recognized that that worry that, that had to do with his traveling was something that's come up on different occasions. And I think oftentimes we put things under the rug. Right? Mm-hmm. We put them in the closet. These are things, or stuff and tuck. We don't want to deal with it. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. But then it rears its head at another time. And then it's like, again, it's pulling us away. It's pulling us away. And we need to become aware of what are those repeating habits or thoughts or behaviors that are pulling us away from, you know, we're happy one minute and then not happy the next. Well, that's not okay, because then happiness always looks like it's eluding us. That it's always out of our grasp because it's being pulled away from us. It's not. We're allowing it to be pulled away because of like those three. Oh, I thought that was so interesting. Those three personality types, right? The pessimist. Optimist,
pessimistic.
Right? Yeah. That he said 60% of people are pessimistic. 80% of our, we have a negativity bias. 80% of our thoughts are negative for most people. Unless we start to train them.
I
would say even
higher. I think maybe even higher. We always go to, we see an accident on the road, we automatically go right to negative.
To the negative.
And we do that in life.
And it is technically supposed to be a survival thing, right? Yeah. To help us to stay clear of the things that make us feel uncomfortable, right? No, you don't want to do that because last time you screwed up. You don't want to do that last time because people laughed at you. You don't want to do that last time because you felt uncomfortable. You don't want to do that last time. So this fear is constantly like pulling us away from doing the things that we want. So that negativity it wants to do that. We literally have to train our mind to look to the positive, to be the optimist. Because if you're just the realist, then you're just stuck in what is. And the what is, all you have to do is look at the news, go on social media, and the what is sucks in lots of ways.
Do you ever ask yourself, Teresa, why you're not happy? Or do you also ever ask yourself why you are happy?
When I'm not happy, because of all the work that I've done, I recognize that happiness, as I said, is the sun. We are always happy. But we are disconnected from that. My mental self pulls me away from my happiness every single day because my thoughts will bring me in a whole different direction. I wake up in the morning happy. All of us do. But then the tendency to look to your phone and check your emails
starts to make you unhappy.
Oh, right away. And you're like, oh God, I have all this to do today. Oh God, I have to deal with this person at work today. Oh God, I have like all the weather sucks. Oh, this is right
so
away.
You're sleeping, you're totally happy while you're sleeping, content. And then you wake up and boom, the meter of happiness starts to drop.
Yeah, right away. And so I tried to preserve my peace because happiness is also peace. Mm-hmm. I've tried to preserve that. I don't go reach for my phone. I don't. I try to stay in that peace for like as long as I can, even if it's like an extra 10 minutes or whatever. And I set an intention for the day that today is going to be a great day. Today is going to be a good day. And then when I feel like I'm ready to step foot, usually I give gratitude for just waking up. So I have decided, I don't know if it'll happen, but I have decided that I would like to leave this earth by going to sleep one night and not waking up. That would be my desire. That I was the luckiest person would be to just die in their sleep. You think, you put lay your head on the pillow and then that's it. However, a friend of mine on October 11 passed. I didn't know because he was avid on social media. He was a life coach too. Avid on social media every single day, putting out positive content 2-3 times, maybe even more. His whole life was about trying to do better for this world. October 10 was his last post. And then October 11, he passed. I don't know. I think it was a heart attack. He just out. And I was like, he probably didn't know. Maybe he fell asleep. Maybe he died like that too. So I wake up in the morning going, yay, I survived the night and I have another day. So I'm already like happy about that, that tonight wasn't
You're
the
grateful.
Night. Yeah. Yes, that I wasn't supposed to wake up, I have another day. So that is immediate joy for me. And then it's setting this attention that I want today to be a good day. Today is going to be a good day. like today is going to be a great day today because I knew I was sharing it with you and we're going to be talking about happiness all day. Like, how great is this to be talking about happiness all day? And so, and then I start my day.
That was good. No, that was good. And I'm glad that you connected with him. And then we had a chance to speak with him. And that's what I enjoy about this show is just the people that you get to. Everybody has a similar perspective on happiness, but it's amazing to me every time how different it is.
But at the same time, there's commonalities, right? Yeah. When I said, oh, wow, like it's going to be different. And then the things that pull him away are the same universal things that probably pull everybody away on this planet. Fear being probably the one big thing. There is only love and fear. Fear is the opposite of love.
But I want people to understand that the little, I'll give you an example that happened over the holidays. And it's just because my parents have gotten, you know, my dad's gone since 99, but my mom is not in the greatest of shape either. And it's been 3 years since I had Portuguese sweetbread. And I completely forgot about it. It's a staple in a Portuguese household in the holiday period, right? And sure, I was at the bakery and I saw it at the corner of my eye and I was like, yeah. And then I grabbed it and it reminded me of just, it's not the healthiest. It's still sugar. It's still a sweetbread. But the thing is, those little, him ending the conversation that we had with Dwight, I'm going to go get an ice cream. Like these little things that you keep forgetting about that generate so much happiness in your life. Embrace them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seek them.
Following your bliss. So that's one of the like five key steps of happiness that I share is following your joy. Following your joy means that you allow your inner joy to guide you in every moment with every choice that you make. So in that moment, you chose joy because that bread reminded you of something like a good feeling. So I got a bottle of Bailey's for Christmas, salted caramel. Okay. So coffee is one of my joys. Even when I go to bed at night, I'm like, I can't wait for my coffee tomorrow morning. And then I wake up in the morning and then I have like my water with lemon juice. And then I go into that first cup of coffee is like nothing else. The second cup is not as good. The later ones that I have, not as good. That is literally one of my joys. So following your joy means in every moment you choose what is a little more exciting. So I usually have a cup of coffee with just cream, but I got this bottle of Bailey's salted caramel flavor. And I'm like, okay, in this moment, which do I want to choose? Do I want to have it with cream or do I want to have it with Bailey's? And the little more exciting option is the Bailey's. And same thing this morning. It was like, okay, which one am I going to choose? The
Bailey's. Just chase the joy.
Is the little bit more. And so in every moment, we need to look at the choices that we have as what is a little bit more make us feel a little more happy, what is a little bit more passion, a little more exciting, a little more enthusiastic, a little more energetic. So when you have a choice for lunch, do you want to choose the tuna or the egg salad sandwich? Which one's going to make you that little more happier? And every single day that if you have two people to talk to, who do you want to talk to? Who's going to make you that little more happy?
It's very true.
And throughout the day, you're choosing and following your joy over and over. You're choosing your happiness all day long. And imagine then you reach the end of the day saying, wow, that was a pretty good day because all day long I chose my happy. Even if somebody comes, some like rabid person comes at you, you're right, you're at work and someone's like, your joy could be like, you know what? I really have to go. I have a call that I have to make.
It's still two choices in front of you.
Right? You can either sit there and listen to the misery and let this person
on. Or you can go and find some joy. I know, simple as that.
And let this person offload on you. And then you're commiserating there because how many times do people make that choice at the water cooler?
And like how we said, it's going to rub off on you or you're going to rub off on them.
Yeah.
Those are the two choices.
And that's allow that person to rob you of your joy by continuing to stay there and engaging in that negative conversation. And how many times do people choose that? Wherever, whatever workplace they work in, that they allow some miserable person to come in and bitch and complain about what went wrong and la la la, instead of saying, you know what? sorry to cut you short, but I need to go because I have to make this call. Whatever excuse you have to make, because you need to choose your joy, and listening to that person is definitely not choosing your joy.
It reminds me back in my 20s, back in the film days, there was a gentleman there, Curtis, he's no longer with us. Whenever there was a conversation going on and he didn't see any value in that conversation, if there wasn't any happiness towards that conversation, he literally would just walk away from it. It could be a mid-sentence. He would just walk away. And I never really, I just, it was his thing. It was his character. That's what it was. But I could see it now from meeting you and talking to you so many times. He was just like, this is not serving any purpose whatsoever. I'm out of here. I don't even have to say I'm leaving. I'm just literally walking away from, and I could see the sanity because of that. And I could see myself doing that now. And I've said it to certain people in the last couple of years. I just said, listen, I don't want to be around that person. That person doesn't add any positivity to my life. So I'm not interested in being around that person. I'm sorry. It's as simple as that. So I will avoid any scenarios of being around that person.
Yeah. No, setting up boundaries is one of the happiness strategies, right?
You have to.
It's creating healthy boundaries.
But also with your device.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we most people just go to it to fill time.
Yeah.
And then they end up wasting time.
Yes, thank you so much for that. You know, there was a time when we, before devices, when if you were in line at the grocery store waiting to pay at the cashier, you were at the bank, and you just had to stand there and look around, and people look and maybe daydream about something or space out, whatever. But now everyone fills those voids of time
head
on
down.
This.
Head down.
You look at every, like, even so I'm in high schools, you know, a couple times a week, whatever, and I look at all of the kids, because in elementary it's different. In high school, all the kids, their heads are all down and they're all on the, like all on them. Like, even if they're with a group, even then they're still, so they're in the company of people and they're still on their device, sharing their time with people they don't even know, oftentimes, on social media. And that's the part that actually angers me the most, is that I'm with, you know, my husband, and he's sharing time that he has with me, which is not that much time. It's like pockets of time that we have during the day. In like 24 hours, how much time do we really spend to even engaging with each other? Maybe an hour. And then to think, how many times do people, even that 1 hour that you have to be with your partner is now sitting beside you on their phone with strangers. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
I asked a guest recently on a show, what goes on at recess these days? Remember recess back in elementary school days?
Yeah.
Everybody's on their devices. And it blows my mind. And I think I'm pretty sure, I'm confident, without even looking at the data nowadays, I think more people are spending time on their devices than they are actually sleeping. And we already know we sleep 1/3 of our lives by the time we get to the end of it, if we make it a long trip. So if you're already spending as much time on that device than you are as you sleep, then you're going to waste 1/3 sleeping, another 1/3 on those devices doing what? Nothing. And then you have 1/3 of a life. So basically, if you're going to live 90, you might as well just accept the 30 that you have lived already. And now you're on borrowed time for the rest of it.
Wow, that's an interesting way of looking at that.
Think about it. Just, I mean, we all get the screen notifications of being told of how much time we spent last week on these devices.
Yeah,
they're getting up to the hours now, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I can only imagine these kids, if they're spending it at recess, if they're spending it while they're waiting in line to do things, get things done, or they're spending it in between traffic and what time's going on, they're consuming so many hours on those devices, and then they forget what's around them. And I actually like just sitting around and just discovering what's going on. So he's right. Everybody's right about, like, this time thing is very, very important. So unfortunately, if there's people around your life that are just robbing you of that, then just walk away from them. Don't even have to be polite about it. Doesn't matter.
But making sure, though, that the reasons why you're walking away when we say, okay, they're not serving me. So one thing that you said was that person is stealing your joy. That's one thing, okay? So they're like those energy vampires, and they're just coming up offloading, you know, their junk on you. That you don't need. But I find lately that a lot of relationships have become transactional.
Yes.
That this is what also really makes me feel like gross inside, that people are like, you know what, I have nothing to gain from this individual, right? That transactional is, unless you benefit from somehow engaging with this person, that you're going to get something out of it, then they're willing to give you some of their time. But if they're going to get nothing out of it, then they're just like, I don't need to talk to you anymore. And you're just like canceled. And I'm like, oh, wow, when did people become so disposable that if you have nothing to gain from this relationship, well, you know, they're out.
You're right. It becomes transactional.
That's gross.
I agree with you.
But why is everybody, like, this is the selfishness, I think, of what's happening, is that unless somebody has something to gain from their interaction with you, they want nothing
to
do.
But I think as you get older, you smell all that stuff out. You can sense it.
If those people are seeing that time with you like that?
Exactly. If they do, then you realize, hang on. And then vice versa, too. If you're wasting somebody's time, listen, there was a friend of mine years ago that wouldn't reply back to texts. It would be days, sometimes weeks, right? So I had this vision in my head that he was seeing a notification, because everybody sees the notification, and ignoring the notification. That's how valuable I was to that person. So basically I said, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to text you anymore. I haven't spoken to him in years. And that's just how I look at it. I made the effort to try to connect and do a text and send and, let's get together, let's do this or whatever. But then the ignoring of that text and then getting back to me days, weeks later, it just showed you how important you were to that person.
Mm-hmm. No, and I've eliminated that. You know, we've talked about this before too, that the number of people that I feel that I could count on if I was in the hospital or I really need something is far and few between. That unless I feel like I'm providing value for someone and they appreciate the value that I'm bringing, that I try to bring my true and authentic self, and I try to bring my happiness, I try to bring the best of who I am in every situation, that I'm not the negative Nelly that's going around spewing. I'm not that person at all. So if I'm giving you my time, because time is so precious, and you don't value that, then I don't need to be with you.
Yep.
I could be with someone else. But that's not transactional to say that if somebody isn't valuing you and your presence and what you bring to the relationship as, you know, being able to set a healthy boundary between those individuals who are just using you because they want to go out with you to have like a good time, and they're only there with you when things
they're doing it to waste their time. They want to fill their time. It's no different than someone standing in line looking at a device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to consume some time now, right? We'll get into it in another show. I want to wrap up this one now, but this has been, I'm so grateful that you connected with him and had Dwight on the show and talking about that, because he brought up some really good points that I think are going to stick with a lot of people. Okay, that's it. That's it. We're all done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy, because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at Teresa Greco _steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.